these hours, we try to cover 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 King, 2 King, 1 Chronicle, 2 Chronicle. We try our best. Last night we studied the book of Judges, and the end of the book of Judges, the whole country of Israel become chaotic because there was no king. So everyone just do according to what they want to do. And then, you know, the kingdom of God always under the guidance of God. So when you turn to 1 Samuel, then God chose a person called Samuel. And Samuel was the last judges. Through the work of Samuel, the country of the Israelite gradually been smoothed out, the operation been smoothed out. Let's look into 1 Samuel. Who was Samuel's mother? Hannah, right? And in before Samuel was born, who was a prophet? Who was a prophet? Eli, right? And the Bible says that Eli was growing old and did not have vision. As a prophet who did not receive vision from God, and the prophet has nothing to say. So when the prophet had no vision, means God did not abide with the person. And it is a decline of the ministry of the prophet. So at that same time, God just chose another person to succeed Eli, and which is Samuel. The Samuel mother, Hannah, originally was barren. And in that society, barren was a shame. So she cried bitterly. Even her husband comforted her. But still, that kind of pain cannot be removed by anybody. So she cried bitterly. She poured out her soul before God in the temple, according to chapter 1. And her prayer touched the heart of God. She only moved lips without voice, but her prayer reached God, right? And Jesus Christ cried aloud in the Garden of Gethsemane. And also, his prayer touched God. Prayer, the voice is not the most important. The most important is heart. You use a small voice, and you pray very hard, and use a loud voice and pray very hard, will reach to the same result. And then Eli just approached Hannah, said, "Your prayer already been answered." So that was Samuel chapter 1. And later on, Hannah gave birth a child. And according to his vow, she brought her vow. She brought Samuel to the temple and just let Samuel stay in the temple. And Samuel, ever since he was young, he received a lot of revelation from God. So that was the calling of Samuel from chapter 1 to chapter 3. So from chapter 1 to chapter 3, we know that God will prepare. In every generation, God will prepare his worker to fulfill his duty. Because the history is under the control of God. And God has his own plan. In order to fulfill his plan, God will prepare the people. Same with today, even though we need full-time worker, right? We need workers. But we pray, and God will prepare. Eventually, you are going to see somebody unexpectedly will come out and to serve God and to enroll in TDP. How come? Because God moved the person. God wants to use the person to revive the church. So chapter 1 to chapter 3 is the calling of Samuel. And then chapter 4 to chapter 7 is a commission of Samuel. Samuel was anointed, and later on, Samuel succeeded Eli to become a prophet. And the same time, if we look into chapter 4, right, the ark was captured by the Philistine, by the Gentile. Ark are supposed very powerful, right? You carry the ark, the Red Sea can be opened, but not the Jordan River can be dry out. You carry the ark can make the city of Jericho collapse. And how come? In a battle, they carry the ark. Not only they did not overcome the enemy, the ark was captured by the enemy. The reason is because Eli has two sons, and his two sons follow the ark. And what happened to the two sons? The two sons actually commit adultery in the temple together with the woman who take care of the temple. So when a person commit adultery, the person become defiled, polluted. So no wonder they carry the ark outside and God was not there. If God was not there, the ark itself means nothing. It's only a piece of wood. That's all. So the same chapter 4, we see Eli died, all his children died, and the ark was captured by the enemy. At the same time, Samuel was commissioned and started his work as a prophet. And then chapter 8, Samuel was concerned by the request of the Israelite. Why? Because the Israelite requested to install a king for them, and God was really not pleased. Because God say their king should be God himself. But right now they want to follow the other nation to install a king to take care of them. And God was not pleased. So Samuel was really concerned about their request. So God told Samuel, you just follow their request, even though God was not pleased. But you follow their request, but they have to bear the consequence. The same thing. If we want to make a decision, we will pray something which is not according to God's will. Sometimes God will give us, but we have to bear the consequence. So because of this, chapter 9, the first king Saul was anointed. So chapter 9 to chapter 12 is talk about the selection of the king of Saul. So Saul was the first king of the country of the kingdom of Israel. So he was supposed very, very glory, right? God used him to become a king. But as we know that Samuel, as a human being, we always have some kind of shortcoming. If we are not well disciplined when we assume some kind of duty, in the church, a lot of times, it will call harm to us. Sometimes, not a lot of time, it will call harm to us more than benefit to us. But if we have a good spirituality, we assume the duty, we can be benefited, and the church can be edified too. So a person's spirituality is quite important in terms of serving God. So from chapter 13, to chapter 15, the rejection of Saul. The rejection of Saul come from what incidents? If we see the chapter 13, Right? Samuel asked Saul to wait in where? Gilgal, right? For 7 days. And Saul keep on waiting, right? And until the seventh day, and Saul did not see Samuel. And then chapter 13, verse 8, the end of verse 8, when Saul saw that Israel was leaving. You know, the political figure, especially the king, was afraid of most is the people don't support them. Right? The king, political figure, afraid the most is they lose attraction. So when Saul see people are dispersing, leaving them, and Saul start to offer the sacrifice. Actually, that was not the business of Saul. He offered the sacrifice already go beyond the boundary of his duty as a king. That should be the duty of a prophet. So he go beyond the boundary to do the job of a prophet, and he sinned against God. So that was the first reason God was not pleased with him. And then if we read, continue to chapter 15, God commanded Saul with this one very important task, to eliminate Amalekite. Sometimes we will find out, we feel that how come God is so cruel? You have to kill the Amalekite. Even the children, even the infant, you have to kill them all, including the cattle, everything. We have to understand from spiritual perspective. Israel was the chosen people of God. He's the prince of God. Right? So if anyone who tried to destroy the people of God actually is an enemy of God. So if they don't eliminate the Amalekite, and the Amalekite will eliminate them. So from the spiritual perspective, we know the reason why God want them to kill infant, including the infant. Because Amalekite represent the flesh, those who belong the flesh. Amalekite is the descendant of Esau. And Esau was the one who are very worldly. And very mundane, or carnal. So if we don't kill the carnal desire, the fleshly desire, and the carnal desire will kill us. So spiritually speaking, there is no coexistence. So we had eliminated them. And when God commanded Saul to do that, in chapter 15, first God tells Samuel, right? You are the king. You are above everyone. But you have to listen to me. What does that mean? You are above everyone. But above you, there's another one who in control of you. Who? It's God himself. So God already explained the order. God, Saul, and the people. And now God give him a commission. You eliminate the Amalekite. And start from verse 4 into verse 15. When Amalekite tried to execute God's order, he used his own personal preference to substitute God's will. And that what really offended God. You know, when we do we do the church business, right? God is a king. We are nothing but a vessel. So when we do the church business, the most important thing is not what I want to do. The most important thing is what God wants me to do. And there is a discrepancy between what I want to do and what God wants me to do. If we really respect God as a king, as a Lord, then we will deny ourselves. But if we don't deny ourselves, a lot of time, we will substitute God's will with our personal preference. And then when we do that, God will not be pleased. Because when we do that, we already put God under us. We are above in God. So after Saul did that, then There's a very famous sentence in the first Samuel chapter 15. Which verse is very famous? 1 Samuel 15, which verse? I think most of the RE teacher know it, right? Okay, verse 22 and 23. Oh, 22. Samuel say, the Lord has a great delight on burnt offering and the sacrifice. In obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of ram. Verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is very sinful, but rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry. Even I don't worship the idol. I don't participate in witchcraft, but if I disobey, if I rebellion God, the sin is the same. Oh. So that was the reason God rejects Saul, abolished Saul. Oh. So that 16. And then start from chapter 16, then we talk about David, the next king. Oh. Then we all very familiar with David. When Saul want to anoint David, he went to David's father. Who was he? What's the name? Jesse, right? Okay. And one by one, the son of passing by. And Saul, the Samuel, even though he was a prophet, he still had human weakness, right? He saw a son looks like king, so he want to anoint him as a king, right? Who among here look like a king? Nobody want to raise hand. Right? Look like a king must be muscular and very tall or something like that, right? And God told Samuel, say, no. Men look at the outer appearance, but God look at what? His heart, right? Oh, so according to the book of Acts, David was a person after the heart of God. After the heart of God means what? Whatever he want to do, he want to do God's will. He want to please God. So in his heart, he has no self. In his heart, he only want to please God. Oh, so God anointed David, not because he was handsome, right? David actually was very handsome. But not because of handsome, God used him. But because his heart, he want to please God. Oh, so chapter 16 talk about David. And also the same thing, we look into David's life. David wrote the Psalm chapter 23, right? Even I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what happened? I fear no evil, for you are with me. And when David mentioned about this, he was not talking about something in theory. He was talking about his personal experience. When David was young, he was a shepherd, right? He encountered lion coming. What happened? If you are a shepherd, lion coming, what are you going to do? Run, right? You receive only minimum of wage. How can you lose life? Only because of 1 hour of $9, right? But David was a person who really loved the sheep, right? So he chased the lion and beat up the lion and rescued the sheep and what? Killed the lion. How come he was able to do that? Because God was with him. So he was not afraid of lion. And then he looked into the Goliath, right? A person who very tall, right? And shout and defend the name of God, blaspheme the name of God. And David was so angry. How come this guy can shout around and defend the name of God? So he want to kill Goliath because God was with him. And whatever he want to do is to please God. So he used one stone and kill Goliath. So ever since he was young, he already proved God was with him. So we are young, right? But if God is with us, you have no fear. You don't fear about after graduate, you cannot find a job. You don't fear about in the future what kind of difficulty happen. If there is God's abiding, there is a power of God, and there is a grace of God, then everything will be fine. Oh, so David, a very good person. Oh, God chose him to become a king, to succeed Saul. So we only mentioned the most important part. Before David, the end of 1 Samuel, before David assumed the kingship, what happened? God allowed Saul to chase around him on the top of a mountain. How come God allowed this to happen? Because once a person wants to assume very, very important responsibility, the person's spirituality had to be built up first. So while David was chasing by Saul, according to the Bible, his heart relying on God every moment. And the reason Saul was unable to catch David is because God did not hand David over to Saul. It's not because Saul was unable to catch him, because Saul has a soldier. But if God did not hand over David to Saul, there are many times, almost Saul can kill David, but he did not find David because God's interference. And during this kind of ordeal, we can see David was a great person. Why? Because he had the opportunity two times to kill Saul, but he chose not to kill Saul. What is the reason? What was the reason? David had the opportunity to kill Saul, then all his threat, his suffering will finish in that right spot. But he chose not to kill it. Why? Fear in the anointed. Yeah, that's the point. Because Saul was anointed. Since he was anointed, he must be responsible to God. Since he was anointed, God will hold him accountable. So you only wait God's timing. Now, when God's timing is ripe and he did not repent, God will hold you accountable. As me, David, he did not dare to do anything. So this is a very important lesson we have to learn. Honor God. And eventually, what happened? Saul died in the 1 Samuel chapter 31. And all three sons of Saul all killed in the battlefield. So we go into the 2 Samuel. The 2 Samuel is talk about David ran. And after Saul died, right? David ran. And there's a side story, right? 2 Samuel chapter 1, there was a young man go to report to David, right? Saul already died. And the young man thought David probably will be very happy, right? Because Saul died, right? Who killed them? And you know, the young man himself lose a life. Why? Because what he say did not please David. So the triumph of David from chapter 1 to chapter 10. So chapter 2, David anointed to become the king of Judah. And until chapter 10, you can see many of the warrior, very brave old warrior, work together with David to reign over the kingdom. And then in chapter 2 Samuel chapter 6, you see an incident which we don't understand very much. Chapter 6, verse 6, right? When they use oxen to and put the ark into a cart, use the oxen to pull the cart, right? And then the oxen almost fall. Because of this, the ark almost fall down on the ground. And what happened? Verse 6, there was a person called Uzzah, right? And straight hand tried to protect the ark. And what happened? The person died. Oh, everybody cannot understand, right? The person is so innocent. He wants to protect the ark. And how come God strike the person to death? Oh, there are some lessons. First lesson is, the ark are supposed to be carried by human being. It's not supposed to put into in the cart. And how come they put the ark into cart? Because that come from the idea when the ark was captured to the foreign land, right? The foreign king invented the idea to carry the ark. It's too heavy, too inconvenient. Just put in the cart. It's more convenient. You don't have to carry it, right? Oh. So because of this, this indirect reason why Uzzah was killed. If that ark was carried by human being, you will never, because there are many people carry together, you will never stumble and the ark will never fall on ground. Oh. So what does that mean? Oh. You know, the church is a place where God abides. And the holy work, when we do the holy work, we are something like carry the ark. Oh. So you will feel the pressure. You will feel the pressure when we really, really assume the responsibility. That means we carry the ark. So if everybody feels the pressure of the holy work, we do our best, rely on God to carry our responsibility, fulfill our responsibility, and the church will grow. And the reason the church don't grow is everybody dedicate the responsibility to others, right? You do that. Nobody feel burdened. Nobody feel pressure. Everybody relax in the church. And what? We do the holy work, only we try to fulfill some kind of duty. And if we do holy work in that kind of mentality, the church cannot grow. And the second reason is, we concern about church, but we should never use any way beyond what God allowed. Right? Yes, I love church. If the church has problem, I want to help the church. But I want to help the church within the boundary of using God's way to help the church. We cannot loving the church use an ungodly way, use a way which cannot please God, try to help the church. That's not right. So they want to help to uphold the ark, but that was not God's way. So it did not help and lose the life. So this is a side story from chapter 1 to chapter 10. It's a triumph of David. So David become a king, and the king keep on growing, kingdom keep on growing, and God continue to bless the kingdom. So he was a very glorious king. But in that moment, in the prime time of David's kingship, something happened. Chapter 11, transgression of David. From chapter 11, we are very familiar with the story, right? David take a nap until what? Sunset. You know, the kingdom was fighting, their army was fighting a war in the front line, and David take a nap until sunset means his life are very loose, not very watchful. And then he walk on the top of the roof and saw a woman taking a bath. And that was, he was not supposed to see it. All right, right? And that was the lust of the eyes. And then he starts lust about other people's wife. And then he used a plot to kill the woman's husband in order to marry that woman. So the Ten Commandments, David almost commit three commandments out of ten. right? Sixth commandment, seventh commandment, and you shall never covet your neighbor's wife, the tenth commandment. A very serious sin. But one thing good is, after Nathan confront David, right? And David start to repent. In Psalm 51, we know David totally repent. From the bottom of the heart, he really repent. He feels so painful. Why? Because originally he was so joyful. Right now, God left him. He feel no peace, no joy. He was so afraid. So he repented, and God forgive his sin. So the transgression of the king. When we are in the prime time, we have to be very watchful. Even the prime time in the world or prime time in the church servitude, we have to be very watchful because we will become the target of Satan. Satan want to defeat the person. And then from chapter 12 onwards, you can see even though the king, the sin of David was forgiven, but the consequence lingers. Sin must have a consequence, right? Sin can be forgiven, but consequence will linger, cannot be removed. So because of this, we should never commit sin. Even sin, God can forgive us, but we still have to bear the consequence. So later on, David's family, so many tragic things happen in David's family. Why? Because of the consequence of he committed sin. So the trouble of the king starts from chapter 12 to chapter 24. David encountered a lot of trouble, and later on, his own son, Absalom, tried to rebel against him, try to kill him. So all these kind of things make David really very painful. And in the book of Psalm, we see David was a very, very good person when he was young, before he was a king. So you know, a person is very spiritual, but it doesn't mean 10 years later, the person will be still spiritual, right? Our spirituality fluctuates, come up and down, up and down. If we are watchful, continue to pursue, we will stay in very high ground. But if we are not watchful, then our spirituality will drop sharply. Now, David is one of the examples. Now, so that was from 12 to chapter 25. So we finished 2 Samuel. Very fast, right? And in the 2 Samuel, the last chapter, David numbered the people of Israel, right? And because of this, God said, you have to choose one of the three, calamity. How come? The book of Numbers numbered 2 times, right? It's okay. And how come David numbered once and had to choose one of the three calamity? Motive, that related to motive. So we do everything. Motive is the most important. You know, when Jesus Christ anointed, Mary anointed Jesus with a vase of perfume, right? What did Judas say? Judas said, very, very wasteful. Why not? We sell this piece of perfume, right? For 30 pieces of silver and can give to the poor. And Judas was very eloquent and speak very diplomatically. Of course, if out of good intention, that's good. But inside is what? The Bible says very clearly, because of greedy. You have 30 pieces of silver, put it in my pocket, I can use it. Right? So motive is the most important when we do everything. So David numbered, and then he suffered. And David chose to fall into the hand of God instead of man. Right? How come he chose to fall in the hand of God? Because David know man and David know God. He know God is very merciful. Once you suffer, you cry to God and God stop. But human being is different, right? Once you cry aloud, you suffer and the man put you more suffer. That's what you deserve. God and man is different. So if we have a heart of God, we will be very merciful, right? Even a person do something wrong, one day the person suffer, we're merciful. Let's pray for the person, right? Ask God to forgive them. And that is the heart of God. But if we don't have that kind of heart of God, we see a brother do something wrong and be probably punished by God, then we say, we don't have to pray for them. Let them suffer more. Oh, so next time you will not sin again. And that's a human heart, right? So it's different. Second Samuel. Then we go into the first king. First king talk about the David's death and the disruption of the kingdom. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, the United Kingdom. It's not UK. It's 1,000 years ago, that United Kingdom. And after David died, what happened? The Solomon succeed David to become a king. And Solomon ran for 40 years. And if we look into David's will, it's very interesting, very important. A spiritual person, a man after God's heart, before he died, what did he say? 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Verse 3. And keep the charges of the Lord your God to walk in his way, to keep his statute and his commandment and his judgment and his testimony that is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word and which he spoke concerning me. Okay, so what did David do? What did David commanded his son? You have to follow God's commandment, follow God's will, follow his decree. If you do so, no matter where you go, you will prosper. Why? Because God will bless you. And this is his personal experience, lifelong experience. So, chapter 1 to chapter 11 of the first king talk about Solomon assume the responsibility of David. And when Solomon became a king, and God appeared to him, asked him to ask for one thing, and God will fulfill. God will answer. Right. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. You see? He asked for wisdom. If God appeared to you tonight, you can ask one thing. I'm going to give it to you. What are you going to ask for? If we ask wisdom, then God will be very pleased, right? Wisdom. Because he wants to be a good king. So he asked wisdom. And then not only God give him wisdom, God give him longevity, and God give him prosperity, right? So that to chapter 11. It talk about the prosperity of the kingdom of Solomon. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, including partially including the record of building the temple. And later on we will talk about that. And chapter 10 talk about the queens of Sheba. He heard about Solomon so wise, and the queen of Sheba traveled so far away and to see Solomon in order to listen to the words of wisdom. You know, when a person who is a queen, right, so rich to high position, usually the person will pursue after fame, right, or beautiful clothes, right? and a social gathering so that everybody praise you. Oh, but Queen of Sheba is so much different. Oh, she are looking for wisdom. Oh, so today, if we become successful in the world, what are we going to pursue later? Oh, the best way is to pursue wisdom. Oh, and the wisdom comes from the words of God. Oh, and chapter 11, the United Kingdom, you can see chapter 11 already have an invisible clue that Solomon is going to fail. Chapter 11, why? Because he married what? Non-believer. Oh. And that non-believer later on guided Solomon away from the true God. Also, marriage is so important. So how come in the Old Testament keep on commanding Israelite, you have to marry in the among the chosen people, you should not marry the outsider? The most important reason is consideration of what? Their faith. So that they can keep their faith, worshiping the only one true God. Oh, so today is the same. Oh, the most important principle, hold on, is to marry in the same faith. Oh, so of our faith will not be affected. Oh. Now, chapter 12, because chapter 11, the end of chapter 11, is talking about Solomon died. And after Solomon died, who resumed the responsibility? Rehoboam, right, in chapter 12. And Rehoboam himself has some kind of counsel. And also Solomon has some kind of counsel. Just like a president always a wise man surrounding him, give a suggestion, right? And what's the difference between Solomon's counsel and the Rehoboam's counsel? What's the difference? Huh? What's the difference? Age. Yeah, different is age. Rehoboam's counsel are very young, right? Just like your age. Can you give a good advice? And Solomon's counsel are very old. And what's the difference between young and old? Young are very strong, right? Your muscles are very strong. Tell the people, if you don't want this distance, I'm going to suppress you with the mighty army. All right? That's young people's advice. Right? Will you give the same advice? If you want to listen, you know I have a feast to beat it up. Oh, so you're scared, I listen, right? And then Solomon has an older council. The older council knows the human nature, right? If you talk nicely to the people, right, and treat them very good, they will support you to be a king forever. And which one is better? Which one is better? The older man's counsel looks weak. You are the king. How come you're so submissive and bow down before the people, right? Oh, but the older man's counsel is you have to win the heart of the people. And the young man's counsel, you can suppress them outwardly by some kind of power. That's the difference. So because Rehoboam listened to young men's advice, so the kingdom divided into two parts. The northern kingdom called what? Israel. The southern kingdom called what? Judah. That because the son of Solomon made it happen. But I think most of you are very, very smart, right? Because your advice will follow God's teaching, so no problem. Thank God. So chapter 12 to chapter 22, the divided kingdom. So the first 80 years of the two kingdoms, they are ran north and south by different kind of kings. But if we go through the first king and second king, then we will find out most of the king are good king or bad king. Huh? First and second kings, the king there are most of them are good king or bad king. Huh? Both. Most of them are bad king. Oh. How bad? Bad in what way? One sentence. Bad in what way? Worshipping idol. You look into all the kings worshiping the idol. Bring the country worshiping the idol. And worshiping the idol is commit what? Idolatry. And not adultery. Idolatry, right? It's the second commandment. Now, if you look into Ten Commandments, second commandment is more serious than seven commandments. It's more serious. Start from chapter 12 onwards, you can see a lot of backing. Because of this, so God did not send down the rain, so there was famine. Because of famine, so a lot of widow. I don't know why the man died earlier. Men are supposed to be stronger, right? When you have no rain, most of men die. A lot of widow. We don't know why. And then 17, 1 Kings 17, then God starts to use a prophet, Elijah, try to reclaim the faith of the Israelites back to the only one true God. And you know the story of Elijah, right? Before he confronted the Israelites and bring them back, God sent him to a two locations to be trained up. What are the two locations? What are the two locations God trained them? The first one is to the brook of, how to say English, Cherith, Cherith, right? Second, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 5. How to spell it? Yes. The brook of Cherith, right? This is the first place. The second place sent him to a widow's house. So what are the two places training for? According to Romans chapter 4, talk about the God worshipped by Abraham is the God who talk about two things. Romans chapter 4, right? Or 5. The 亚伯兰所拜的神是什么? The God worshipped by Abraham. Well, make something out of nothing. The first one, right? How about the second one? You read. Please open it. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Anybody read that out? Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Anybody read that out? Hey, sister.
Yeah. It is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who we believe, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do.
Okay. God can do something, right? Make a dead out of resurrected and make something out of nothing. So God sent the Elijah into the widow's house. Later on, the son died, right? And Elijah make him resurrected, the first one. And God sent Elijah into the brook of Cherith. The Cherith had nothing there to eat, right? But the raven can bring the meat to Elijah to eat, something out of nothing. So to train Elijah's faith. The first training is what? To take away everything. When Elijah moved to the brook of Cherith, right? What did Elijah do? Probably only the clothes he wore, right? Other than that, nothing. Because famine. When you reach the point that you have nothing, only a clothes, then it's very easy to concentrate your mind in prayer. Really, you have nothing to think about. Right? There is no shopping, there is no phone call, there is no iMessage, there is nothing. Right? Then you pray so concentrated in your mind. Today, material will block our relationship between us and God. So if we remove all the material for a period of time, that will be good for us to rebuild our relationship with God. So temporarily send him to the brook of Cherith. Remove everything. So every day, right? He just prayed to God. When hungry, pray to God. And God commanded raven, and then a few minutes later, raven, come and with the meat. All right. Now, build up the faith in a simple life. And once the faith has been rebuilt, and God put everything back to you, then you will not be affected. Now, so sometimes we go through a simple life, it's good. And the second one is to the widow's house. Only a little bit of flour, right? And that flour never stop, keep on coming until they survive the famine. So that is the experience. So after Elijah experienced this, Almighty God was with him. Then he go to confront the Israelite. And how did he confront the Israelite? Verse 21. And he stretched himself out. And Elijah come to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. So you see not 2 feet stand on the two boat. Make a choice. But they don't want to make a choice. Why? So theoretically or theologically, Elijah confront them, try to persuade them to make a choice. Nobody want to make a choice. How come? Because making a choice is very difficult. It's a painful process. So I rather to live a compromised life. So later on, how come they make a choice? Because they saw the fire come down from heaven to consume all the offering of Elijah. They know God was there. So they make a choice. So today, how can we revive our faith? Only talking about the teaching of the Bible sometimes is not enough. When we see God walk mightily in the church, the Satan, demon possessed, pray hard, being cast out, a person has very serious difficulty pray, and the difficulty will resolve. All of a sudden, we find out God is here, God is working here, and everybody's faith will revive. So when there is a difficulty, sometimes it's a time to revive our faith. So it's in chapter 18. And chapter 19, then Elijah ran because Jezebel tried to threaten to kill him. And how come Elijah ran away? He was able to confront 450 prophets, and then one woman say one sentence, he ran away. How come that woman so powerful? Because when Elijah finished the work, where did he run for? He ran to the gate of a city. You know the gate of the city used to have a lot of people gathering there, right? When Elijah ran to there, everybody, Elijah, you are number one. Right? A lot of praise. When they receive a lot of praise, they forgot it is God who had done something, it's not Elijah. Right? And then in that moment, he lose the power. He was afraid of the threat of Jezebel. So this is to tell us, we have to be very watchful, whatever we do. Always rely on God. So chapter 2, from chapter 12 to verse 22, that was the king of Elijah. We try our best, still go through only 3 books. Next time we're faster, so we finish. Next time we start from 2 Kings. Let's pray in silence.